Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 94, Living the Life We Choose.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Well, it was quite a week last week. Don't know if it was for you too. So many things happened in my life that have changed me in a very positive way. And as I was preparing for this podcast, I thought, what shall I do or how can I share that? And what came to mind was a memory I had of being a child and receiving a box of dressing up clothes from my aunt who worked in a theater as a dressmaker. And at the end of a production, she was given the choice to take a few clothes, and she would take a few clothes that fitted children, and hence we ended up with this fabulous dressing up box of clothes. And we would play for many, many hours. I mean, my imagination was just wild with these energies. I have this drama queen inside me. And so one time I would be a pirate with all the gusto and the bravery, and the next minute I'd be a princess and everybody was taking care of me. And I loved, of course, when we were going to play cowboys and Indians, because that gave me the chance to put these wonderful Native American costumes on. And I couldn't understand why anybody wanted to be a cowboy. Of course, I'm living in London. We had very little knowledge about cowboy and Indians, but I knew I loved that costume. Of course, it was many years later that I realized my deep affinity with the Native Americans and with all indigenous cultures. And I still admire and can feel those wonderful costumes on my body. But at the end of our afternoon, we would take those costumes off, put them back in the box, and off we'd go to tea. And it would be that we didn't forget that we'd had that experience, but it no longer mattered. We had a choice. We could live as those characters, or we could go into what we considered a reality of back in the age when it was. And I feel that that's why I wanted to share today about choice. And I'm going to come much more deeply into this, because people often ask me about fate. Is everything fated? No, everything isn't fated. If I look at astrology, there are events that will occur, but it's not even a specific event. I have not had babies, but many a time when I would go for a reading, someone would say, oh, you're about to give birth. Well, I'd have to say, no, I'm not giving birth to a baby, but I am to a new book. So even in astrology or even through mediumship, events can get a little bit disturbed, but what can be seen is you're going to give birth, or something's going to come to an end, or there's going to be some energy here that will have consequences for you. And I think that's all we can ever do. People often ask me, you know, am I going to meet someone or am I going to have children? Again, personally, I don't think those decisions can easily be made. The presence of another individual in your life may occur, but whether you actually choose to go ahead with that is your choice. And again, choice. So when we look at choice, it's as if an event or even an energetic event will happen, which will culminate in a variety of choices. And that's what's happening at this time. We're being given choices to be in a certain way. So I know that you might want to ask, well, why would someone want to have an injury? Or why would someone want to be abused? Or why would someone want to lose their parents young? And in all honesty, I'm going to say, I don't know. Because I want to start with the premise that we do make choices right from the very beginning, even before we come onto this planet. We make choices, not again how events will pan out, but there's certain events or certain energies will occur. Again, death, birth, excitement, mystery. These are events we can say, yes, there is this opportunity for change, etc. But how that's going to pan out in your life, And how we're going to react to that is still the mystery and our choice. So as we move forward in this particular podcast, I want to say is it's not for you or I to know someone else's journey. All I can do is support anybody on that journey. I can give guidelines to say something's going to happen, but I'm very careful not to say, oh, I see death is coming your way, or I see that birth is coming your way, because it's not as clear cut as that, in all honesty, and I think it does more harm than good. When we made the choice to come onto this planet, and you may or may not agree with that premise, I believe we make that choice from a very wise place, a very knowing place. And I believe that all of us are wise, knowing souls. Now, some of the choices we make, we may have said, maybe that wasn't the best choice to make. But I say we're wise beings because I don't think we make mistakes in what happens. What we may make a mistake in, if there was such a thing as a mistake, is the choice how we deal with that episode. Again, I don't think there's a mistake. But if we say that I create every event in my life for the purpose of knowing myself more fully, or opening my petals, as you've heard me speak about, or finishing karma, or learning something from it. In other words, the event has a purpose to it. That I know. How I use that event and to what purpose is my choice. Does that make sense? So if we choose from an event to, let's say, withdraw or take ourselves into darkness, it's not a wrong decision. Sometimes we do something and we need to go to an extreme in order to do something different. It's not wrong, it's just different. And maybe that's one of the words I would like us all to look at is, would you like to do something different? Would you have liked to have done something different if you had that life again? Or was what happened and how you dealt with it, the choices you made, were they ones that in retrospect you're able to say, wow, that may not have been the way I would have maybe now done this, but the chaos or whatever came out of my decisions actually created a wonderful scenario that I'm now living. So once again, I'm saying I think there's an energetic event that may appear in multiple ways, and there are multiple choices. So in other words, after an event, you might have found yourself climbing a mountain. I'm sorry to use a metaphor like that, a simplistic metaphor, but you may have said, oh, I've got to go and climb that mountain, and I've now climbed the mountain. In retrospect, you might have said, actually, it would have been easier just to walk around the mountain. And so sometimes we do create more difficulties for ourselves or more challenges for ourselves that we needed to have done. But maybe by climbing that mountain, you realized that you had the strength to climb the mountain, whereas if you'd walked around the side, you might never have done that. You know, it's not so clear cut always to be able to say this and this equals this. And I see that so much in my work as a soul reader. I see, wow, because you made that choice, other things happen that may never have happened. And I worry when we try and make things too simplistic, if I'm honest. But when I speak about having choice, it is about that choice we have to the way we want to feel. So when someone says, maybe around COVID, I'm anxious, I just try and say, and they may not like me saying this, I'm choosing to be anxious. Now, you or I might say, well, no, I am anxious. Okay, but it's a choice. Once we put that word choice in, once we say, I'm choosing to be anxious, can you feel the difference from I'm anxious to I'm choosing to be? This is like the dressing up clothes, and you might say, it's nothing like it, I feel anxious. But when we put that word choice in, we are no longer a victim. And once we're no longer a victim, in other words, something outside me or something outside my consciousness or my control is making me this way. When I say I'm choosing this, it's in my control. Now I can choose something different. And that's the essence of today's podcast. What choices are we making? And they're not even choices of action. They may be just choices of vocabulary, of how we wish to see ourselves. Do I choose to be a victim to life, or do I choose to take control of life and still act out maybe exactly the same way? I'm still anxious, but I'm now realizing it's in my control to change that if I want. And long ago, when I was working with a lot of diabetics or someone with MS, again, we were even then, 20, 30 years ago, try not to say to yourself, I'm a diabetic. Try to say, I have diabetes. And again, try not to use the word I'm suffering from. But I have the illness diabetes. In other words, I'm expressing this illness called diabetes. It just changes the way we see ourselves. And when I saw someone with diabetes labeling themselves, it was almost that I knew that if I tried to take that identity away, there was nobody else there. They didn't exist beyond that identity. And there are certain illnesses, which we call autoimmune illnesses, which are where we build an antibody against ourselves, and such as diabetes, such as MS, such as rheumatoid arthritis, such as lupus, where there it is very common where literally the illness has become our identity. And this is what I wanted to share with you about last week. What is my identity? What identity am I choosing to be? So now I'm going to take you back to another part of my childhood. As a very small baby, as you hear, I was very conscious, very aware. I was an observer, so maybe some of you were as well. I have very early memories, as I talked about, having this way of going out of my body and coming back in when I woke up. And I became very aware that what I could see in someone, and later on I saw what I could see in their energy field, was not what they were saying. So they would say something but do something else. And in a very simple way, I remember that because we would go to church or we'd go to a spiritual meeting, I'd watch as everybody would listen to the talk about unconditional love and how we love everybody and how we need to serve everybody by being selfless. And I would sit there and listen to whoever was talking. And then as soon as the lecture was over, or the sermon was over, we'd maybe go out and there was some tea and cakes. And I'd watch these people who had been listening and nodding about unconditional love, taking the last piece of cake and being angry because there wasn't enough tea and there wasn't enough. And I thought, I don't understand this. And I honestly was not about judgment. I was clearly thinking, this is a crazy planet to be on. This is weird. People seem to talk one way and act another, or think one way and act another. And it wasn't that I was saying, this is wrong that you do this. I was just very confused. I wonder if any of you have had this same experience. I don't get it, as I would say. And again, we would go to church as a family and people would put on their hats and their suits. It was in the days when they would do those things. And it would be literally, it was almost like as soon as they got out of the church, they took off their hat, took off their suit, they would go back to whatever the other state was, even though they felt that they had taken in all the teachings from the vicar and they absolutely were doing this. And it was as if wearing a uniform was like me wearing those dressing up clothes. It was fine when I was there, but then I was living another way. So as I went on through life, and this was really when I was very small, and I would be told, you know, you've got to be nice to this person because they are whatever. And I was then, again, I didn't realize too much later, seeing not just one other face, someone talking out of two sides of their mouth or two-faced, I'd see multiple faces and they would all be looking at me. So when this person would be looking at me and my mother would be saying, you know, shake hands with this person, I'd think, well, which person? There's so many of them here. And some of them I didn't like. And it was as if it wasn't just the fact that I wasn't too keen on some of the faces that were looking at me, but it felt that the person who was in front of me, the person I was being asked to shake hands with, wasn't aware of these other characters. And I was having to make a decision as a very small child as to whether I actually trusted the consciousness of the individual standing in front of me to know what choices they were making to turn up. In other words, the less conscious someone is of their other worlds or their subpersonalities, they only are making one choice. And that choice may not be the one that's at the front. They may be driven by an unconscious subpersonality that is pushing their agenda. Does that make sense? So when we're not conscious of those other parts, it doesn't mean that they're not pushing forward their own agenda. They're not manipulating us to live in a certain way. So I was always wary, more wary of someone who was very unconscious of themselves. We could say not self-accountable, than someone who would come to me and say, you know, I'm a bully, I'm an angry person. I'd go, great, we know who you are. And that would be because, as I would speak about, they knew a lot of their petals had opened up. Obviously, as an adult, I've become more aware of how to work with those energies. But I think unconsciousness is one of the greatest challenges because it really is a place of non-accountability. And it's almost becoming victim now, not of our choices, but of our unconscious. So who's running the show? Who's driving the bus? So as I went, if I come back to my childhood again, not only did I have awareness of other people, I would say I had very little awareness of who I was. I never have ever known what I'm going to do next 6 months, next year. I've never known who I am. I've never known what personality, what should I do, you know, what should I do with the rest of my life? But there was this sense of inner knowing that was always strong. And that inner knowing was like a sense of connection. I never felt lonely or afraid or alone. But I felt very confused in this physical earth world. Because it seemed to be that other people seemed to know what they were doing and where they were going. I have to say that even at one time, I looked down at my body, I think I was probably a teenager almost, and saying, wow, I'm doing being a woman this time. And clearly, I was not obsessed with what my identity was in terms of my gender or my color. That wasn't going to help me one little bit. It was more in tune with, what did I feel? What did I know? And that knowing was not, again, about an intellectual knowing, but I knew I was connected. I had no idea to what. It wasn't necessarily to a god or to some star group. I just felt connected. I wonder if you've had that feeling. So as I went through the world, I learned, I'm a really quick learner, what I needed to do in order to fit in. Anybody been there? You've heard me speak about this before. Yes, my prostitute comes into that as well. But what I learned was, this is a crazy world. People seem to talk out of many sides of their mouth. They seem to express different parts of themselves depending on what day it was and how they were. And I needed to find a way of fitting in. And so the way of fitting in was, I took on different labels. And it wasn't labels that I decided on. It was almost like, again, being given dressing up clothes. So someone would say, oh, you're really good with academia. Oh, I'm really good at academia. It was like putting a piece of cloth on. It didn't really mean anything to me, but okay, I'll wear that. Oh, you're really good at playing sports. Okay, I'm a sporty person. Okay, another piece of... And it was literally, I received labels from other people to define myself. And I felt a little bit like a woman of mystery, that I didn't know who I was. I wasn't particularly bothered by that, but I felt that other people were. And so their need to label me was there. And I would almost be bemused when someone would tell me who I was. It's like, okay, that's great. And sometimes I would follow people. I didn't do this too often, but I would follow people who I thought knew who I was. And I'd go so far until I realized they didn't know who they were, so how on earth were they going to help me? And I'd say, thank you very much, goodbye. And some of that I realized was my need to be needed or my need to have a label. And sometimes they got hurt because it was like, well, we were only trying to help you. And it was like, yeah, but you don't know who you are. How can you know who I am? So back I came to my own place again. So becoming, I was very academic. I am very academic. Or I choose to be academic. I choose to be sporty. These were easy things to me. There were many things that I found easy. Other things I found quite difficult. But I, as we all do, we move towards the things that are perhaps easier for us. And so when it came to a choice of getting a career, it really was a case of a number of my school friends were becoming doctors. I thought, oh, become a doctor. Again, it wasn't anything about prestige or helping other people. It was just like, well, I know how to learn and I like people. Let's see how we go. And only as many of you have heard me speak about, becoming a doctor was really tough because I was so overwhelmed with the suffering of other people through my intuitive sensitivity that I really should have gone and been something completely different where people didn't suffer. But I said, okay, I'll become a doctor, kind of naively, and had to spend quite a few years learning how to develop healthy emotional boundaries so I didn't take on all the suffering. But in my taking on the being a doctor, it was never about the label. It was never about, look at me. It was, this is something that's going to get me somewhere. I don't know where it's going to get me. I wasn't particularly interested in whether it was going to give me financial security or anything else. And it was only in retrospect when I realized that being a doctor opened doors to things and places that I wouldn't have been open to. I do have a real passion about people's health, as you know, and helping people to become whole. But it also became a springboard for my own spiritual development and my own love of complementary medicine, holistic medicine, what makes people tick. All of that was the same. It could have come in many different formats. And so my journey to discovering who are we was really one where I went from being the doctor to the homeopath. So I'm like, okay, there's more to this than I know. And then to exploring the esoteric, the energy fields, the da-da-da, all of those things I've done, the teachings. And it's all been about exploration, finding myself, and in the same way, helping other people to find themselves. So last week, I spoke to all of you about how I'm very interested in Earth mysteries. And that was on the Thursday. And I was brave enough, and I have to say, it took bravery to say, I know that I'm a grid builder. I know I'm an ancient Maya. I know these things about myself. And that knowing wasn't a label of identity. It was an inherent energy. It's like a frequency. It means nothing as an identity. It doesn't mean that I want to say, therefore I know everything. It's that type of knowing is not what I'm talking about. It's like a frequency. I know I resonate in this way. And that's why I shared that with you. And the following day, some of you may have seen that I had a post up about wearing masks. And it was not that I chose not to wear a mask. I believe that people should wear masks within social distancing. But I was making a comment about someone who was a good 100 feet from someone else. And maybe the effects of this mask wearing may have on them when they are jogging. wow, I was given so many wonderful comments. Some of you may have seen that. But what I was kind of bemused by and almost laughed at was how I was attacked for my identities. You say you're a doctor, you say you're a homeopath. What does it mean? You're just a new ager, you're just an author. And it was like, wow, is that what you're attacking? Because I've never identified myself or been bothered by labels as a means of knowing who I am. And yes, I was uncomfortable, one might say, with those comments. But what they helped me to do was to see just who I am, that I am not my labels. I was not needing that outer covering to define myself. And in many essences, I can only say that I feel and know my inner light, and many of you do too. And that inner light is a resonance. It's a knowingness. I can't think of a better word. I'm conscious, a consciousness. And the following day, I saw a large cockroach that we had in our garden, and it had died. And all these ants were eating the exoskeleton of this cockroach. And I was at first thinking, okay, is that how I felt by these comments? And then I saw and read the cockroach is one of the most ancient of all animals. It's as old as the dinosaurs. And that it has survived in this way because of something deep within it. Even having an exoskeleton, it survived beyond that. This ability to survive was there. And I saw the message was, you can take away my exoskeleton, but you will never, ever destroy me from within. And actually, I saw those ants as being my helpers. I was very grateful because they were eating away anything I was hiding behind, anything that was not allowing me to reveal all who I am, anything that where I was not revealing the choices I wanted to make about my life. And so that's why I say this has been a huge week for me. It's as if I've taken off a shell, taken off a big coat. And it wasn't a coat that necessarily served me anymore. It did when I was a child. It served me to fit in. It served me to feel a sense of belonging. But, and this is why I'm talking about this, I'm encouraging all of us to do the same. We are not our labels. We are not our identities. Just like the diabetic, just like the person who's anxious, we can say, I'm choosing to do this, but it's not who I am. I'm choosing to wear this identity. Now, if we are all, and this is what's been happening through lockdown, we're all being given the chance while we're cocooning to look at what identities define me and where am I limited by my identities and those labels. So unfortunately, some of you may have lost jobs. Some of you may have changed your career. Some of you may have taken up a new hobby. But whatever's happening, what you're recognizing that you have a choice to put on whatever dressing up clothes you wish to put on. Nobody else can make that choice for you. This is in your hands. And as I've been talking over these last few months, it comes not from outside. It comes from within. And we've done various meditations of saying, okay, what is that inner core, that heart-centered core, the center of our flower? And it may not have words, my friends. I can't necessarily say to you, this is who I am. That's not what this is about. It's a sense of connection. It's a sense of resonance. It's a sense of frequency. And that's what makes us move forward. And we know, we call it intuition. We call it intuition because we say, this idea resonates with me. This idea brings me closer to myself. This idea feels good. And we also know when we are not following our intuition, when there's an idea that isn't the best choice for us, when we say, I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't. And that's when we need to say, thank you very much. I'm not going to do that. That's not in resonance with me anymore. So making choices is a very deep experience. It's not a mental choice. If we thought through our head or through our throat chakra, we'd never make any choices. We'd go back to that procrastination I was talking about. When we think through our heart, it's about pleasure. It's about nurturing. It's about enjoyment. It's about resonance. They are those qualities that know that we're moving in the right track. Synchronicities. So that when we're moving, as I talked about before, when we're moving in the right track, door opens. When we're not, doors close. And the ability to follow our intuition is guided by, as I say, things showing up for us. And in, you might have said, well, did you choose to have those people put negative comments on the Facebook? Well, on some level I did. And I think this is one of the harder things, is sometimes we make choices on a soul level that push us in a direction that forces us then to make a different choice. Has that ever happened to you? And you might again say, wow, why did I have to climb that mountain? I could have gone round the side. But maybe I needed to go to that extreme to be able to then say enough. And in the posting I did on Facebook, many other people spoke up about, not just about me, but also about postings they knew about mask wearing, for instance. So it gave other people the chance to step up, to talk about things. And so all I would say is that intuition isn't always about making things beautiful for yourself. They're not always easy choices. Sometimes our soul's choices may actually cause disruption to our own lives or disruption to other people's lives. And what I want you to know is that sometimes those disruptions to other people's lives, it's not for you to know what's going to happen then. Sometimes I may say something or do something that I know causes ripples in another person's life that then causes ripples in their family life. And again, in retrospect, I might say, wow, why did you say that? Why did you do that? But if I really trust my intuition and I know that it was not done, and this is a very important point, that it wasn't my ego speaking, because if my ego was going to make a decision, it would say, don't do it, Christine. But sometimes, as long as we trust that intuition, and we are living pure to our intention. With other words, we are not trying to hurt someone else. It's never a good thing. First, do no harm. We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not trying to get approval. We're not trying to criticize others. Our intuition can come through in a very pure way and cause a disruption that will influence many, many people down the way. But I still, and here's my last piece on this, I still will honor the fact that I am responsible for the initial action. It isn't saying, oh, I did it because that's good for you or it helped other people. Everything we do, we make a choice about. We are accountable for the choices. So it's not enough to just say, well, I helped others or it was their karma. I made the choice at a deep level to do this thing. I may make a different choice next time, but I will be accountable for my choices, knowing it was made not out of an ego need from hurting others or needing approval, but that I trusted my soul. And these are the most difficult of all choices to make, those ones that may affect other people. And only in retrospect will we ever know why that soul choice had to be made. So choice is ours now, my friend. It's about whether I put those clothes on or take them off, what dressing up clothes do I choose to be in? And recognizing that every action has a choice. Every way that I choose to come out of an action has a choice of how I choose to live with that action. And we are living in this place now. It's very interesting that Neptune is still retrograde in Pisces, and it's coming to us now that there are many choices. I'm watching what I thought was the truth, which was if people have more information, then they can make better choices. And what I'm recognizing now is that that's not true. That if we've already made a decision and we've already chosen that life is as it is, then more information doesn't change us at all. In other words, we only usually look for the information that's going to qualify or reinforce what we already believe. The ability to live with mystery is the way of the child. The child feels secure moving between the worlds. The adult feels secure having a belief system that they can keep reinforcing as a truth. Life is like this, the world is like this, I'm like this, nothing good ever happens to me. It's those belief systems that the child doesn't have. They don't get limited by such beliefs. They move. It reminds me of a time when I worked with children who could move between past lives. They had many past life memories. These children are usually about 3 to 8 years old. And what was interesting is that they would tell me something and then they would just go back to play back in their 20th century world. And what was interesting is that these children would be very specific. And even though they were very small children, they would use a language that was not of this time. So there was this one little boy who was about 3 and a half who was describing to me that he remembered being in a field with his mate and they were chatting. And he was very serious and he was describing the circumstances, the sun was shining, etc. And he said, we were talking about my sweetheart, which was a very old-fashioned word to use by a three-year-old. And he said, yes, we were talking about my sweetheart, and then bang! And that was it. He didn't have anything beyond that story. And he was just wandering off to go and play with his toys, and he came back and said, you do know there's a second meaning for chatting, don't you? And I said, no, waiting for him to tell me. And he said, well, there is. And off he went. And he just went back to play. He'd been talking about an experience where clearly something had happened, bang, maybe he was blown up. And he didn't worry whether or not this was the end of it, that life. It was just a belief. It was just a choice. And later, I looked up the word chatting, and indeed, a chat was a louse. And to chat or to be chatting was to remove the lice from the lining of a soldier in the late 1800s. So he and his mate were chatting, removing the lice. And he was talking about his sweetheart. And then everything went dark. And I recognized that same pattern in the children that I worked with. I did a lot of pediatrics, worked with a lot of children who were very ill, even dying. And they would talk about life not in that, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm not going to have children or I'm not going to get married. They would move between what could be a very painful procedure for them to, okay, I'm off to play. And they didn't carry the, why is this happening to me? And I feel that that's where we've got stuck, where we've got stuck in those beliefs that say, this is not a choice, this is happening to me. I am a victim to my choices. And we are in such a time now where I want to say, if you could just put that word choice in, I'm choosing to do this, it will change our lives. And when we say, I'm choosing to do this, but it is not the choice that resonates with me, everything changes for us. So my friends, until next time, I'm sending many blessings and love to you all. Bye-bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Heart Speak Podcast with Dr. Christine Page. Please check out all Heart Speak episodes in the podcast archive section on www.christinepage.com. Heart Speak is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, and now playing on iHeartRadio. You can also watch the archive podcasts on YouTube. Connect with Christine on Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, including her newest Facebook group, The Great Mother Calling. Do share with family, friends, colleagues. Join us next time for another edition of Heart Speak.